Hey, Rob.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Adrian.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, it's the three of us here, unless Will is on the call again, I'm not sure. But maybe not. Okay, that's fine. So, Rob, so you, let's see, so you had me kind of take a step back last week and spend some time kind of reviewing, coming up with some new questions for, like, you know, the VIPSA model, and which Cheryl will learn about today, and the, what else? Oh, and the, you know, the social networking and the charitable and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah, so I came up with some questions, so.
Nice.
Okay. So, Rob, should I did not prepare for, I mean, I've got a series of 9 or 10 questions here, so it's going to take some time. I didn't really prepare for the, you know, for what was due today, quite honestly, because I didn't have time.
No, that's
so
fine. We'll just cover that next week. I mean,
right.
You know, we go to this is week 11, then we have week 12, and then we go to monthly. So whatever we don't cover, we'll cover then.
Great. Okay. All right, so, one question came up, Rob, because recently, by the way, I just want to mention one thing. I started telling Cheryl about this, but I am on the, like, I definitely took an interest in that Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation and, excuse me, on the development committee, development
yes.
board, and they yeah. meet once, yeah, well, they meet once every 6 or 7 weeks. Now, here's what's interesting. I looked at the 8 or 9 names that are on that development committee, and it is something that I can do. We're reaching out to companies and trying to get larger donors for all of their events and fundraising activities and stuff, which I think is right up my alley. I can do that stuff. But what's interesting, Rob, is I looked at the LinkedIn of some of the people on that network, on the committee, and, like, this one went to Harvard, this one went to, you know, Harvard. They're all, like, you know, I went to UMass, right? So they're all, like, in a sort of category of very educated, probably making a ton of money kind of people. And a lot of them are actually in the banking business. They're not financial advisors, but they're, like, in the, you know, banking business to some degree. So not a lot of them. I mean, maybe 2 or 3 of them out of, like, 10. But I still think it presents a good opportunity for me, you know, in terms of doing something I want to do and meeting some people that kind of are in that net worth area that I want to meet with, right? I think.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, okay, good. So I'm looking forward to that, and I think it's a great way to start some networking. All right, so the first question I had, it actually came up with a prospect that I got referred to last week. And this guy has – all right, let me look at my question here. He says he has this inheritance coming in sometime over the next year. He has a Merrill Lynch account, and he says, let's talk after the first of the year because I'm going to need a place to park this inheritance. So I'm like, all right, great. And I think it's going to be a pretty good-sized inheritance, but I didn't ask him the dollar amount. My question is this. When do I bring up the supernova when I'm talking to a prospect on the phone that I haven't met in person yet? Is that an opportunity for me to bring up the whole supernova process? Or do I get, like, an in-person meeting with him, bring a folder with me, and talk about the 90-day look and that kind of thing, you know?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Okay. So yes to sort of both. I mean, yes, I bring it up during the first call. And then I bring the information with me when I talk to him. Is that what you think? Is that what you're recommending?
Yeah, you can. You know, you can bring it up any way you want, but more
yeah.
is always when you're talking to a prospect. The most important thing is it's 90% they're talking and 10% you're talking.
Okay. All right.
It's a fact finder. You want to find out all about him. He's going to be happy if he's talking.
Mhm. Mhm.
Okay.
Yep.
At the same time, you know, whenever you're meeting somebody at a cocktail party or anywhere, the first half of the conversation is all about what do we have in common.
Okay.
All right. Maybe we have nothing in common, but you still try to find something you have in common. right?
Okay.
I mean, you do that. You ask people, where are you from? Where did you go to school? Where did you do this? Where did you grow up? Where did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
You think you're doing that to be nice, but what you're really doing is trying to find mutual agreement, mutual ground. You're trying to establish that you're from the same community, tribe, whatever you want to call it.
Hey, whatever. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And in so doing, then you kind of go, okay, once you get an affiliation, something in common, you have
mm-hmm.
something to talk about. The idea is that, oh, he's just like I am. Okay.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
All right.
I'm good at
that. The second part
mm-hmm.
that you want to establish is why are we different, and how can we be of use to each other?
Oh, I see. All right. Why are we different, and how can we be of use to each other? Okay. All right.
That's what human beings do, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
If you kind of keep that in the back of your mind all the time when you're thinking, next time you go to a cocktail party, have this playing in the background while you're talking to the person, and
okay.
see how the conversation goes and how close it is to what I was talking about.
Okay. All right. Actually, I'm thinking this actually did happen one time at a birthday party we were at. In Swampscott, there's a CPA who I get to know better, and we spoke like three-quarters of the time. We spoke all about our things we had in common. We went to the same camp together. We grew up. We had a lot in common, actually. I'm going to build on that. And then, okay. All right.
And then, you know, the second part is, why are you – and that's where you establish that you're very different from other financial advisors. Or you're different from other human beings. You're better. You don't brag. You just tell them, you know, why it would be of advantage to know you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and then how would that be of use to him?
Oh, I see. All right. I see. Okay. So taking some notes here. Yeah.
People do this unconsciously.
Yep.
But the more conscious you are, we call that conscious competence. You become a more interesting person when you consciously do this.
Okay. So getting back to what we talked about, you're saying, you know, the guy I talked to, let him do most of the talking, but it would have been okay for me to introduce, you know, the supernova. I may not say the word supernova, but I mean how
right.
I recall.
Why would it have been okay?
Why would it have been okay?
Yeah.
Because like you were saying, because we're different, and then also why he should know me. Why it's an opportunity for me to explain to him that I'm, you know, I'm different than other advisors and that kind of thing.
Like what sets you aside?
Like what sets me apart? What sets me aside from other advisors? Is that what you're trying to get at, Rob?
Right. And why would you be of use to me?
All right.
See, it's, remember, Supernova is all about the client.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't ever forget that. The whole thing was designed to improve the client experience.
Okay. Yeah, I've mentioned that. You've used that line before, actually. Okay. All right.
See, so when you mention it to him, you know, this is why clients love the service we give.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because
I see.
We do. You see? So
yes.
He's thinking, well, how can this guy be of use to me? And you say, this is how I can be of use to you, without
yeah.
saying it. You say, clients like yourself, this is why they seem to love this service.
Okay.
Okay, you don't have to. They seem to. You know, your impression is they love it.
Yep.
Okay, and what you say is, they love, you know, they just, they love the attention because we spend so much time on their financial plan. We customize it for them, and then we help them by fully implementing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
We don't let anything fall through the cracks because we know how busy you are.
Right,
all right,
right.
And then we do that by 12 scheduled appointments. Four of those appointments will be in person. I mean, four of those will be reviews of the plan. Two of them will be in person. And then we have this rapid response team where we give one-hour response, 24-hour resolution to any and all problems. We make sure you call you back and tell you how things are going, if it's going to take longer. And the guy goes, that's amazing. How are you able to do that? Well, we have less than 100 clients. We just try to keep it down to about 70 clients. He's like, man, that sounds pretty good. You
mm-hmm.
see?
Got
you're
it.
Not talking about him. You're
nope.
just saying this appears, you know, this appears to be what clients love about what we're doing.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Let's see. Your value discussion to get phone proposal. Hang on a second. Let me just, I'll skip that one for now. Personal response to the call. Okay. With the 90-day free look, Rob. Do we send it, like, you know, if we're going to give them a folder and so forth, do we send them out a schedule with three calls on it? Or I'm just wondering, we haven't done
yeah.
that yet. Okay.
Yeah. Send them out a schedule with three calls. Send them an agenda.
Yep.
Call them, and then send them an executive summary.
Okay. Okay. That's right. Yeah.
So you do the two calls, and then the third one's in person. Have them come in the office for a review.
Perfect. Okay. Another question for you is, I went to an overnight camp in New Hampshire, and it's called Camp Young Judea. It was a Jewish overnight camp for years, like 5 or 6 years. And both my girls went there, and it's something I'd like to consider being, like, getting on the board or, you know, a committee of some kind
sure.
or something like that. Even though it's in New Hampshire, I mean, I don't know where they meet. Actually, I think director lives in Wellesley. But anyways, I don't know where they meet. I don't know what it's all about. But I looked online, and there's some very qualified people, I think, that are on the board. Is that something
sure.
you might recommend?
I
am passionate.
Think about it. It's
okay.
First of all, it's Jewish, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's an affiliation, right? That's
absolutely, yeah.
That's strong. That's strong. Second,
yep.
it's a camp with shared experiences. Third,
mm-hmm.
you're legitimate. You're legitimate. You went there.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Not like you want to be on the board so you can get business.
Okay.
You want to be on the board because you had a great experience and you want to serve. You liked it.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a not-for-profit?
Yes. Yes.
No, that's great. That's a great thing. Yeah.
Okay.
That's perfect. But investigate it some more. Meet with the director.
Yeah.
And just see, you know, just say, I'd like to meet and talk about this and see what the, you know, see how it works and see if it'd be a good fit for us.
Okay. Yeah.
And you just say, I've got some more time and I'm interested in giving back to the community. This is something that meant a lot to me, and I just wanted to discuss, you know, what it might be like to be a board member.
And it's fine, like, kind of like this thing in Boston, like this JDRF. It's people that are spread out. I mean, they're spread out all over the eastern, you know, part of the state. But still, it's all about meeting with them, doing something passionate. Hopefully over time, you know, I develop some good relationships, right? And maybe some of that turns into business. Is that how I should be
of
looking
course.
At this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I mean, you find that geography is not as important as affiliation.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So I'm going to write that down. So I just have that in the back of my head. It's not a showstopper, you know? Okay. Affiliation. All right. That's fine. All right. Okay. So, all right. Cheryl's been terrific in working with me in getting this stuff thing up and running, Rob. Right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, most of our clients that are going to be on the Supernova program have the red folders now. We've got blue folders made for all those people, and then some more to come.
Yep.
My question is this. Now we're almost 12 weeks through this. I've talked to you about some networking committees. I have some scripts down in terms of what to say for clients. I've been asking them about the value proposition and talking to them about introductions a little bit. But still, there's a lot out there, right? I mean, there's the niches, there's the CPA networking, there's still a lot of stuff out there. My question is, in your eyes, where should we be prioritizing right now? Because it's just me that's doing this. That's it. I'm not part of a team that's on board with this. Just me and Cheryl. So where do you see spending the time right now, you know, as we're looking at this?
I would experiment with it and keep I would probably try and keep, there's seven different strategies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can do them all at once, but I would try and you know, I would have several going at the same time.
Okay.
My wife and I are different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm more ADD and I get bored doing one thing, so I'm
yeah.
Like I'll have five books. I'll be reading five books at the same time.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and
funny.
And she reads one and then moves to the next.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
get, you know, it's like watching different TV channels. You know, I like to switch channels.
Okay.
So,
right.
So for me, my natural inclination would be to have a bunch of different things going on. When I used to attack a problem, I'd have five, I'd come at it from five different directions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So rather than having one direction that then doesn't work and then you have to start another one,
right.
I had five different directions. And then the problem, and then the, you know, the ones that didn't work, I dropped those. And then,
sure.
But if I hadn't had five, I wouldn't have been successful in doing
yeah.
the things that I was doing. I had to have that many because I didn't know which one would work.
So I feel like for now, for us, like, you know, meetings and phone calls with clients and the folders, that's already up and running. The second thing is I'm definitely working on the, you know, the nonprofit committees and boards.
Yeah, don't think of the calling your clients as one of the things. That's just that's a given. That's like brushing your teeth.
Okay, fine. So there's nonprofit.
That doesn't count.
That's okay. The centers of influences is something I want to work on too, right? Getting like now, like, you know, the center of influences.
Yeah.
Okay, that's also something. I mean, there's a lot in there. I guess I just need to figure out which ones to focus in on. But
all right. So here's the way I would suggest doing it. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We call it, you know, we have the 96-4-2-2-1. So why did I call it that? Because that if you did those things, it would give you still, that would fill up half of your time. You may not have half of your time. You
right.
may have a third of your time. So you may not be able to do all of these. But
mm-hmm.
the idea is that you want to have, use the 90-day free look is more of a tool to use when you need it. Okay.
Okay.
Rather than something that you're going to commit to do, you're going to use it like you use, you know, any tool you have in the toolbox.
Sure.
When you can't close somebody, you're going to use that. Okay?
Yep.
So that's one thing. All right. 96, six centers of influence.
Yep.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can afford to keep six centers of influence going. You may initially want to say, I'm going to keep three going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm going to have
So start out with three, is that what you're saying? And
yeah,
and,
start out with three.
Okay.
Three that you think. You think of the three strongest and put those on a monthly call. So you make a folder for each monthly call.
Okay.
So you make a folder for each one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And if reasonably within proximity of you, you can see them, I would try and see them each month.
Okay. All right.
Because, you know, there's a saying in marketing, out of sight, out of business.
Right.
Your probability of getting an introduction go up by about 50% if you see the person, you see that person in person.
In person, are you saying that in terms of, is this, well, I'll look at the instruction, you know, I'll look at the book, but is it sitting down with them? Okay.
Yeah. And you can do it as a coffee or a breakfast or a lunch or whatever you think is the most convenient, but you want to make friends with those people. People say, well, I don't want to see them every month. I said, if it was your brother and you could see them every month, wouldn't you want to?
Right.
Yeah. Right. So they're a friend. You want to see them.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Good. Yep.
So you got three folders there. They go in. They go right in the scheduler, just like they were a client.
Okay.
They may be a client, but that doesn't count. This is a separate folder, separate thing.
All right.
Okay.
Perfect.
And the advantage of having the folder and put them in the schedulers, you won't forget about it.
Right.
You know, there's no procrastination.
That makes sense. Okay. All right. I can do that.
Right. So you want to have, so it's six centers of influence.
Yep.
The mastermind group I would postpone. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The four is a mastermind group. Don't do that yet till you.
Okay.
All right. So you want to have, two niches.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A natural niche and then a structured niche, something you want to go after. If you have more time and you like the idea of niches, you can have more niches.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So you want to have 96, 4, 2, 2, 2, and you're already working on that. The two community involvements, the two boards.
Okay.
All right. So you want one charity and one arts organization.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Okay. So you may have two charities, and that's fine.
Uh-huh.
That's a good start. You make a folder for each one of those.
Yep.
Put them right in your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then you develop.
So when you say put them in your schedule, how do you, if they have meetings every so often and that kind of thing?
You know when their meetings are, and you go ahead and you put those right in there, and that'll pop up.
Okay.
Just think of your folder as coming out of a toaster, you know. It pops up when the schedule beams it. So, you know, it pops up, and there you're ready for your board meeting.
Okay. Put meetings on schedule. Okay. I guess we could look at that. Okay. So, Cheryl, that would be something. If we can, even if it's like a 7 o'clock meeting one night or something like that, if we can put those.
Still goes on the schedule.
You know, if they allow for things after 5:30, whatever. You know, we can put in whatever time we want, right? We can put in whatever time we want. Okay. All right, cool. That's good.
Right. 2-2-1. Then you have your LinkedIn. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'd make a folder for LinkedIn, and once a month that would pop up, and then I'd spend an hour on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Now if you want to spend more time than that, that's fine, but the hour is spent really looking for prospects and thinking about leveraging and marketing through LinkedIn.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Sounds
all right.
Good. Yeah.
And then the VIPSA, you want to create a folder for VIPSA and put down all the people that you think in your book were good candidates to ask for an introduction.
Oh, okay. See, this is interesting, Rob. I'm glad you brought that up. All right, fifth's a list for good clients for introductions. All right. I have a question. We have a client. She's got like $500,000 with us, not annuitized, okay? Kind of does some of her own things, but she's very nice. She's from Marblehead. She just out of the blue sent us like a $1.5 million referral that's going to eventually turn into like a $4 million referral, right?
Oh. Yeah.
So,
went up in value.
She just went way up in value, yes. Even though, like, she could be, she's very nice and stuff. But my point is, should I put her on Supernova and treat her as if she's a annuitized?
If you were the coach, what would you tell you?
Yes, the answer would be yes. I'm guessing. Right? I mean.
That's correct.
Okay.
She's bringing that into you, then she should be.
She should be, yeah. She absolutely should be, yeah. I mean, she, okay. That's where, that, like you said, Rob, twice already, but common sense trumps everything else, right? So that's where that falls into that category, I think. All right.
That's right. Now, if she can send you one of those, what are the probabilities she can send you more?
Yeah, I mean, probably. She's very social.
Why did she send you that?
I know, because she likes us, and we've done...
this referral that she's sending you, she may not even know people that she could refer you to.
What, the new referral?
Yeah.
Like the Welch's? Yeah.
So it could trickle.
Exactly. No, you're right. I'll tell you why she likes us, Rob, because I spend hours... She has questions all the time. I get right back to her. Like, I saw a dividend. It didn't mean Investmark, so Cheryl will let her know. But we get back to her right away. We don't put her off, and she sees that, you know. She sees that service element, so. Okay. All right, I've answered my own question there. So, one other thing. This is, again, I guess, talking about as a result of the Supernova scheduler and having December as a tax discussion month and charitable discussion month, like three of my clients are doing donor-advised funds now, Rob, as a result of what happened, you know, of me making a point to discuss this stuff with them in December, right?
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it's great. Now, my question is this. During the whole program, there's been no talk about products at all. It's service, 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 service. But because this donor-advised fund has been a hit with like three or four of my clients now, is there a way to use that in terms of my elevator speech or saying to a client, do you value that? Yes. Are there any introductions of people? Let's talk about some introduction of people that could also benefit from that. You know what I'm saying? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, but remember, I want you to memorize the VIPSA speech.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because what you just said would not work.
Okay.
What you say, what VIPSA, the way we say it with VIPSA, will work.
Okay.
And it sounds so much better.
Okay? All right. It's more natural.
So,
but
you really need to learn it, memorize it. It will be natural once you memorize it.
All right.
The words really flow.
Okay.
But of course, when somebody's happy with a particular product or service, that is a wonderful time to go into your VIPSA speech.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It triggers that. When they say they're happy, that triggers, you know, because they're doing the survey themselves. They're answering the survey, right? Because the question you ask them, basically, in the VIPSA process, is you're kind of conducting a survey.
Right.
You're asking, you know, what are the three things that you valued the most in working with us over the last 12 months?
That's what this VIPSA thing is, Cheryl. Okay. All right, and then that's an opportunity. Yeah, I could. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh.
So I don't have to use that VIPSA speech. I mean, I'm going to use it when they come in on my list of clients. Now, all right, this brings me up another question.
So what would you, let me just kind of follow through, just so you get a sense, flavor
okay.
for what the how you do it. So they say, you know, I really appreciate what you've done on this donor advised fund. This is really mm-hmm. going to mean a lot to our family. And
okay.
I think it's great. And you say, you know what? If you have a minute, I wondered if you might do a little brainstorming with me.
Yeah, right.
And they say, yeah, what about? Well, this seems to be a big hit with a number of my clients. And what I'd like to do is brainstorm with you for a few minutes on who else would value this as much as you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we, you know, you could just say, we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I mean, if you can think of, you know, three people that you think among your neighbors, friends, family that might think this was a good idea, I'm happy to spend some time with them and share the benefits of it.
And they go,
wow, yeah, that'd be great. Okay, let's talk about your family first. Let's eliminate them. Anybody in your family think this would be something they'd want to do? Nope, none of them have any money. Okay, how about your neighbors, friends, people that you're really close to? Yeah, my neighbor across the street. And then you just start making a list.
Yeah.
And then you, at the end, you same thing. You go back and you say, okay, of the people that we've talked about, who do you think would want this, need this the most, or would value it the most?
Right.
Oh, my neighbor across the street. Okay, let's talk about Dr. Lindemann. You mentioned
yeah.
him. Tell me about him.
Mm-hmm.
And oh yeah, we're a member of the same temple. We go over here. He's a good guy. He plays golf at Broadmoor, and he's a da 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 da. You want to find out, how about kids? How many kids do you have? Kids are grown?
Right.
Yep. Okay. Tell me some more. Boom, boom, boom. You want everything. And then the final thing, which is really important, is you don't get a name and a phone number. You want an introduction. And how do you ask for an introduction?
Yeah.
You know your neighbor a lot better than I do. How would you suggest that we meet?
Oh,
how would
okay.
you suggest that we meet? You got to memorize that.
Yeah. How would you suggest okay.
that we meet?
All right.
And he'll say, well, I don't know. And I say, well, when do you see him?
Yeah.
Well, I see him every Friday at Temple. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Would that be, you know, how about if we have coffee before Temple? Or how about if we do this? You know,
okay.
or I see him, at, you know, I see him at, you know, Rotary Club, or I see him, blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. So, last question I have, Rob, is this. Between all, I know this stuff is in print in the Supernova Guide. I know a lot of this is in the book. And I have a ton. I've got, you know, I'm looking at, since Cheryl and I have been talking with you, I have, you know, half of a pad of paper filled from top to bottom with your suggestions and my notes and underlining and highlighting and everything, right?
Yep.
So what I thought about doing, because this is, I'm very visual and very like, just I need things Roman numeralized, okay? I just need things like put together in a way that I can comprehend it the best, right?
Yep.
So I want to share with you my idea. I want you to see what you think. I thought about like taking off a day or two and like just basically writing or typing all this very neatly in the orderly fashion that I can learn from it, and I feel most comfortable memorizing these things and stuff, you know, as opposed to trying to flip through all these different pages and looking for things when I have a question. Would that make, I mean, or maybe you have a better idea, I don't know, but that's what I was thinking.
It's all written out in the book.
Well, it is, but then there's stuff like, that I read this weekend in the VIPSA, it gets into much, much more detail. Well, in the book versus the binder, you know, the PDF.
Yeah, right.
Right.
The book is excruciating detail, and it's
right.
all organized. So here's what I would do. Okay, we did this by chapters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you, if you typed it out, you do it by chapters, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Right. Okay. All right. That way you keep it nice and organized and, all right. Yeah.
And then you can actually put tabs on the chapters.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, exactly.
1 through 12, put tabs on the chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know exactly what chapter is what, and you can flip to it in 2 seconds and see what you typed out.
Because I don't, you know, a lot of these verbals are great when you say it. It's just I don't have all this stuff committed to memory yet. And it would be nice if I'm on the phone with someone to have that in front of me, at least for the first couple of months or whatever, and just be able to, you know, boom, just do, you know.
Yeah, just
okay.
think of it like a play that you have to, you know, you're doing Macbeth, and you've got to memorize it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd take the play, and you'd have it all written out, and then you'd have the chapters, and then you'd practice it, and then you'd give it, you know, and you do it chapter by chapter. You don't do it all at once.
Right.
You know,
right.
And same thing. So you just do it that way. And then listen to the book, though. Listen to the book in audio.
Okay.
Listen to it every day on the way to work and the way home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I was doing that for a while in the beginning.
Yeah. Keep doing it. Keep doing it because it will get into your head. And even if you don't, even if you know it, what will happen is your brain will move to some good idea related to it. Okay? So you'll never waste brain time. You know, you can listen to Howard Stern and waste your morning, or you can do this and stimulate your brain to creative thought.
Right. Right.
And then and the learning and memorizing of the skills that you need here. Typing it out is good for you because that's another way we learn, right? So you take notes, you learn, you listen, you learn.
Yep.
And you type it and you learn. Some people make little cards out, you know, if you want to have the card in front of you with your speech on it.
Yeah, some people do that, huh? Yeah, interesting. Okay, I'll make a note of that too. Because I'm taking all this in, Rob. Now I'm at the point, like even Cheryl said, like the folders are out for most of the clients and blue folders are on my desk. Like that part took us a while to set up, but now it's going and I have more time to start dedicating on some other things. So that's what I want to do. All right.
So I think it's a fine idea. Take some time and type it all out. Do it by chapters, and you'll have basically done what I did, which is write the book yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Further, just kind of concern. Okay. All right. Well, hey, that's all I had. Questions?
You know, that's how I write a book.
Yeah.
Okay. So I take the chapters. I take the information, then I interview people based on what was in the chapter and ask them how they used the tool. I know who does it well. So then I interview them and I put that interview into the chapter, and then I put all the words that I think are important, all the techniques I think are important. And so in that chapter is everything I know about niches that I don't have time to cover with you here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like when we're going to go through something on niches, you listen to the chapter, write down questions, and then we do this about niches. Okay, we go back through and do each segment.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're typing it out, write down your questions for me. At the same time, be listening to the chapter on niches. And then when we have a discussion, you'll be an expert. It won't take you long to be the expert in the whole world on niches. Seriously.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
All right.
All right, Rob. Appreciate it.
Well, Mark, congratulations. This is what I wanted, and this is what I knew you were capable of. So thank you for doing this.
This was helpful. This was great.
All right.
We'll talk to you.
Okay, Cheryl. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Bye-bye.